Good morning.
Good morning.
When God has another plan. Thank you, Taylor, and thank you, Mike, for the prayer as well. A car rental agency had a billboard, and the billboard read, "Want to get back on your 2 feet? Missed two payments." God has another plan. Not quite that way. But there's this possibility. Just consider the possibility that your plan is different from God's. I have something in here. That'll help us understand that. I'll come to that in a little while. Because today we're going to be doing something different. I know most of the times when we come into this building or any church, we basically keep our problems out of the building. We try to resolve them and make sense out of them, and we push them away. It's like, okay, I'll come back for you in a little while. Kind of like parking the car outside. You park your car, park your problems, and you come in, and no problems at all. We go out, there's our problem, there's our car. I would like to do something different. Let's try something different. I want you to think about a problem, or maybe some of your problems that you've been experiencing lately, whether it was today even, or yesterday, or last week, or maybe this problem has endured a month, or maybe a year, maybe a couple of years. Now I want you to pick one of those problems. Sorry for the feedback here. Pick one of those problems. How do you feel about that right now, bringing them into this building? Do you have an emotional reaction to it? Some of you may even have a physical reaction, just thinking about the problem. How long has it been in your life? What have you done to resolve it? What methods have you tried to resolve it? How or what have you tried? Is it something that I'm doing here? Okay. Up. I have a problem today. I just tried to fix it. I don't mean to share my problems with you, but so how do we solve problems? We normally have different kinds of methods. One of them is going to be trial and error. Bring the mic up, bring the mic down. How have you tried to solve the problem? The problem that you've been thinking about recently. You've tried many things, and it's not working. Sometimes we use what's in this bag. And a lot of times we think that that's going to help us. And it's going to solve our problems. I'm sure some of you are already curious. Yeah. This is a powerful way to solve a lot of your problems, by the way. And every single one of us has used this method. And I have it, sorry, I don't mean to make it suspensive. I just thought about something. I thought of a way that we can encompass the concept in one object. And we try to solve our problems sometimes by wishful thinking. Okay, this time. How many guesses I have left, or how many petitions, or how many questions do I have left? Sometimes we wish the problems to go away, and sometimes we kind of ignore them. Other times we completely avoid them. When I was a kid, I heard this story of a lady who, all of the workers were ladies, by the way, and they were sewing. This was years and years ago. They were sewing something together, and the thread that they were using was very special. It was so thin that they had to use a specific material to sew with this thread. And then the machinery was another problem because the machinery got messed up from time to time. And when this lady, everybody actually, comes into this workplace, they're trained on the material that they're using, on the thread, on the machinery, and they're inculcated or taught, you have to ask for help. Anytime that you start having a problem, don't think about it. Immediately ask for help. And to help people, we put a little red button by your machine. As soon as you have a problem, press that button. This lady went in and started observing her first day and saw that all of a sudden people are pushing that button. A person comes in, spends just a few seconds, and leaves. A little while later, another button press, the man comes in, does something to the machine, and leaves. Just a few seconds. And this happens quite often. And several hours later, this lady had a problem, and her thread started tangling up. And she thought, this guy can do it easily. I'll save him a trip. So she started working on the thread and she tried and tried and tried. And apparently it got worse to the point that she had a ball. And so one of the guys on the side, looking at what had happened, he walks into her area and says, do you have a problem? Yes, and I'm so sorry, I tried to fix it. I did the best I could. And the guy said, you were trained that as soon as you're aware of a problem, you have to press that button. How many times do we use prayer as a last resort? We prefer our fantasy. We prefer something quick. We prefer something that is tangible. Yeah, something may be inside, but at least I can see it. Or for that matter, how many of you have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and continued going and nothing happens? It's discouraging to some people to be praying to a higher power and nothing happens. It is disheartening sometimes for some people to see or perceive that God is just watching. And it's almost as if God is just watching over and waiting until you mess up. No, that is not God. That is our inability to let go of some things that we think that are going to help us and press that red button immediately. Romans 6:26. And in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. We don't know how to pray. Okay, fine. That's not an excuse. We have to have a communication with God. We have to have a relationship with God. If you don't know what it is to have Christ as your personal Savior or Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm going to explain a few things in these next few minutes. Because it is imperative that you have a relationship, a personal relationship with God. We cannot travel on the skirts of our parents or our grandparents or our neighbors. We have to have a personal relationship with God. It's individual. And if you want Him in your heart to help you, and you want the Holy Spirit to be inside of you to help you through this process of the process of life, you have to invite Him in. You have to. Because He died over 2,000 years ago on a cross for your sins and for mine. Prayer confuses a lot of Christians. Because it's the answers to those requests that we don't understand. We pray for unselfishness, and God gives us an opportunity to sacrifice ourselves by thinking about others before ourselves. We lay down our priorities sometimes, or our own life for other people. We pray, Lord, increase our faith. And what happens? Money disappears. As an example, I'm not wishing it on anybody, but it's an example of how God is wanting to teach us a lesson. But we cry out to Lord, to God, I asked you for faith. How come now I don't have any money? Or how come my children are now having problems with their health? Why, Lord, if I ask for faith, why is it that I have all these problems? Or sometimes He sends people in our life that we have a difficult time with. You know, those people over there. Careless, extravagant, untidy, slow, We pray for Lamb life like experience. Jesus, help me to be like you. Mold me in your image. And I don't mean physical, I mean spiritual. And what happens? God gives us a lowly service. Or we're injured and must seek no revenge. Why? Because it says, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter and did not open his mouth. What are you asking for? In your prayers? In your quiet time? We pray for gentleness. And there comes a perfect storm of temptations our way. And then there's harshness. And then there's irritability. And we pray for quietness. And every nerve is strung to the utmost tension. What is there to do? We pray for love. Okay, God is love. Lord, give me love. Send me love. And God sends peculiar sufferings and puts us with apparently unloving people and lets them say things which rasps the nerves and lacerates the heart. For love is long-suffering. Love is kind. Love is not impolite. Love is not provoked. Love endures all things. You want love? Yes. Love believes everything, hopes for everything, endures everything. Love never fails. 2 Corinthians, I think it is, chapter 12. It's recited a lot when people get married. Did you know that in all of that section, love is not an emotion? Love is a verb. Love is action. You want God to give you love? He's going to put you to work. We pray for likeness to Jesus, and the answer is, I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. We pray for submission. We pray for God to help us be submissive. To whatever, and God sends suffering. Now, the Bible does not say specifically that if you ask for submission that God is going to give you sufferings. We can find some biblical principles, and as examples, I have three examples here. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, according to 2 Corinthians. A thorn in the flesh, and we don't even know what that is, by the way. And frankly, I don't think we need to know, because that was not the issue. The issue is, or it was, that he was conceited. And that's why God tried to teach him something. James, in James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Whoops. Joy during trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have the perfect result, that you may be, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. We have Jesus' example as well. In Luke chapter 22, among other places, perhaps the most profound example of them all, Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but your will be done. And again, Lord, if at all possible, take this cup away from me. His submission to the Father's will led him to endure suffering on the cross for the redemption of your sins and my sins. While suffering isn't something that God sends in response to prayer for submission, he may allow or use suffering in our lives to teach us important lessons about humility and dependence on him. A lot of times we hear people say, please pray for me. I need patience. And a lot of people know that, don't know this. But when we ask God for patience, it is important to understand that he may not simply grant us patience in the way we might. He may not grant us the patience that we are expecting from him. But instead, God offers works in our lives. The song that Taylor sang today. Sometimes we pray that God will make way. Take away all of this rubbish that I'm stepping on. Clear my way. Make my path to this goal perfect, clean, undisturbed. And many of you, if not all of you, have experienced something that most of us experience, which is God doesn't do it. But Lord, I'm sure this is your will. Please remove this stumbling block because I want to walk this way. And yet, there is something in front of us that perhaps we don't see. So consider in the future, when you're faced with something similar to this, consider that when God interferes and destroys your plans, maybe he's doing that so that your plans won't destroy you. Because if I walk straight ahead where I want to walk, I'm going to fall and I'm probably going to hurt myself in a way that I cannot even imagine. But God knows. God is aware. So when we ask God to help us align our will with his will, try to put some of your ideas, preconceived ideas, to the side and watch God work miracles in your life. I'm not saying don't ask God for patience. Don't get me wrong. But if you ask God for patience, it says it right here. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Patience, in other words. Patience is a good thing. But know that if you ask for patience, you're going to have tribulations. You're going to have trials. You're going to have difficulties. But what is the outcome? A lot of times we don't see that. Nobody talks, not nobody. Very few people talk about the outcome. I'm just going to give you, real quick, 8 benefits of being patient. Romans 15, and I don't have these up there because I'm just going to go through them very quickly. Romans 15 tells us that that patience encourages or helps us with endurance and encouragement. God teaches us the sources of endurance and encouragement. When we ask for patience, God strengthens us to endure difficulties and encourage us to persevere in our faith. Number 2, wisdom. In James 1, assures us that if we lack wisdom, we can ask it of God. And he gives it to us generously, by the way. This wisdom includes the understanding of how to cultivate patience in various situations. Number 3, pay a peace. In Philippians 4, encourages us to present our request to God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This peace helps us remain patient in the middle of trials and tribulations. Strength. Isaiah 40. It promises that those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. When we seek patience, God provides us with the strength we need to endure challenges and remain steadfast in faith. Hope, number 5. Romans 5 teaches us that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. As we grow in patience through trials, God fills us with hope, knowing that he will work all things together for those, what? Yes, who love God and who are called. You all have been called. You all have been invited to this place. You have an opportunity to respond to God's call. Not mine, not the churches, not the building, not even the elders here, or the deacons, or the people who invited you here today. It's God who's calling. Patience, encouragement through scriptures. It gives us an instruction in Romans 15. Tells us that everything written in the scripture was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragements they provide, we might have hope. The blessed hope of one day being reunited with Christ in heaven. Not for a little while, not for a coffee break, but for eternity. Mm-hmm. Last one is grace. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4 encourages us to approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When we ask for patience, God extends his grace to us, enabling each one of us to endure and persevere through our strength? No. What we have achieved? No. Through his grace and through his strength. Prayer is a way of communicating to God, with God, I should say. If you want to have a good relationship with someone, you have to communicate. You have to talk. You have to listen. And most likely, you can identify the voice of those who you love, right? You can have your eyes closed. And you hear a voice and you know exactly who that is. Not only who it is, but where they're coming from in the room, the voice. Let me ask you, does God's voice sound like? And if you're having problems answering that question, consider the possibility that maybe, just maybe, there needs to be more time listening to his voice. Consider the possibility that there needs to be more time in communion with him. Consider the possibility that maybe I haven't given my life to him, and that's why maybe there's a discommunication or miscommunication here. And if that's the case, I invite you to open up your heart, to start that relationship, that personal relationship between you and Christ. Why? Why not? God died for you. God has a plan for you. There's two options. I can ignore him, keep on working on my own way of solving problems, or I can give my problems, bring them to the cross. I need help. I am turning my back to something that doesn't work anymore. And I want to give my life to something that is working forever, for eternity. Let's pray. God, we thank you for allowing us to open up our minds, open up our hearts, open up our understandings. Thank you for the life that we have right now. Thank you for this opportunity for coming here to this morning. Thank you for providing us with the endurance that we need. Thank you for providing us with the encouragement that we need, the wisdom, the peace, the strength, the hope, and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that is indwelling in each one of us. Thank you for the instruction and the encouragement through Scripture. And thank you for your grace that you extend to each one of us today. Help us in our time of need. We commend ourselves into your hand as we depart today, and we ask your blessing upon each one of us, our family members, and our extended family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.